to the high places. We're going up to the high places. We're going up to the high places. Gonna tear the devil's kingdom down.
Report of
to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
One more time.
Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I am standing on the promises of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's glorify Him today. Jesus, we glorify You. Mighty God in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glad to see everybody here today. Good to see Brother and Sister Dixon, Sister Lisa Dixon Gamble. Amen. Good to see him here today. And let's pray that God will have His way in this lesson here today. And you know, a lot of time we want to get off on our own, but just pray that God will keep me in the Word where I need to be. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord. We pray, God, that You would touch each one here today. We pray, Lord, that You would bless everybody. And Lord, give them ears to hear. And Lord, a mind to understand. And Lord, let it go to the depth of our hearts, the Word that You have to give us today. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the Lord today. And our lesson today is living authentically. Amen. That's a call for everybody before me today. It's to live authentically and live the way that God has set a way before us to live. Amen. A lot of times it's not all that easy, but you know, I think Brother Wells said something last week about, you know, you take the Sermon on the Mount. Now that's pretty hard. That's pretty rough. You know, a lot of times you can't do it in your flesh. You've got to do it through fasting and praying. I believe you can do all of those things, but I believe you'd be doing a whole lot more fasting and a whole lot more praying than most of us do. Amen. It's a call of God, and some say, well, that's for the millennial. Well, no, it may be for the millennial, but it's a call to the Christian today. Amen. Anyway, we start out with our lesson today, living authentically, in Matthew 6 and 4. I don't know if I'm going to read. I got Matthew 6, verse 1 all the way through 18, but the focus verse here is Matthew 6 and 4. That alms may be in secret, and that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Amen. Now, that's the way that God wants us to do things. Now, I know there's a lot of time to... I mean, I come up here to teach. I don't want to do bad. I want you to feel like I did all right. I did good, but I don't want to put any glory on myself. I want God to get all the glory. But I don't want to stand up here and stutter and do things that nobody understands. So I want God's blessing in it too. But we can do the things of God, and we can do the things that we need to do, but always keeping our mind. The Bible says by the renewing of our mind, we have to come from the world into God's way of doing things. And a lot of times that's hard to do. In our scripture today, we have about giving alms, and what giving alms means is, it doesn't mean it's not your tithes. Amen. It's not your taxes. Amen. It's the money and goods given to those in need as an act of charity. Amen. Now we say, and I've heard many people say it, and you have too, about going to church. They say, well, all they want is your money. But you know, did you know money is mammon? Did you know that's a power? Amen. And it's the power of the world. Amen. Through money, you can get all the things of the world. And back in the way back when, mammon was pretty much called Satan. Because the God of this world, and money is the God of this world, and the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say that we can't have money. Jesus used money, but money didn't use Jesus. And we won't let go of something. I remember Brother Peterman, he told a story one time. He said about the monkey trap. Hey, man, how you trap a monkey? You build a box, you anchor it down good, and you put food in it that a monkey would like. And then when he would and get that, you build a hole here just big enough for him to get his hands through like that. Well, when this monkey grabs hold of that food, and he comes back through, he won't let go of it. He will not let go of it. And you know, that's the way the world is with their money. They won't let go of it. Did you ever hear that some people said that they won the lottery? They said that was the worst thing that ever happened to them. Did you ever see any of them give it to the poor and follow Jesus? No, it's a monkey trap. They can't let go of it. And this is what happens when we put things, we put money ahead of God, because we just won't let go of it. And when people begin to grow in God and they begin to let go of that money, money is a spiritual tool. Because once you let go of your money and you begin to pay your tithes, the power that money has, it starts to lose its power on you. And then that's Satan. And the less power it has on you, the more power God has over you. So you let go of the power of the world by not being so tight with your money. That's true. I've heard it many times. It's the way of the world. It's the way they talk. Well, all they want is money. All they want is money. Well, that's your God. They've got to get it away from you before you can get away from it, before you can stop serving it. But anyway, you know, many of us today, everybody likes to go to a healing service. If anybody says, oh, God, call me. Make me a healer, Lord. Help me to pray down the power of God that you'll heal anybody that I touch. Amen. But let's look at a different direction here. In Luke 17 and 1. You know, before we can have a giving heart, we've got to have a forgiving heart. It can't come any other way. Luke 17, 1, he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. You ever feel like you cast a stumbling block before your brother? I have. Have you ever been rebuked for doing it? I have. How did you take it? Let's go on. Verse 2, 17 and 2. It were better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and be cast into the sea than he that should offend one of these little ones, one of the followers of Jesus. It was better that a millstone be hung around his neck. Now that's pretty bad. Even God thinks pretty bad of that fellow that cast that stumbling block. Verse 3 says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, he cast that stumbling block, that offense. Rebuke him. He said we can rebuke him. But then all the responsibility goes back on us now. And if he repent, forgive him. All right, verse 4. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, or if passed against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. How long do we hold these kind of things in our hearts? Now, God said it was better a millstone be cast about his neck and cast into the sea that throws these offenses. Now, God has something for him, but those of us that are Christian people, we have to have the forgiving heart that God wants us to have. If you know how I forgive people, I look back at all of my offenses that I did against God. And I can forgive them. There's a man, the one way back, one of my relatives, and this is not bad against him, but he was in a fix and he needed $1,500. And, well, I didn't have $1,500, but I told him I could go half of it. So he went somewhere else and got the other half. He said, I'll pay you as soon as my income tax comes in. Well, this income tax, I guess, never did come in. Well, no, years later, he got sick, and I wanted to make that thing right, and so be right with him. I said, look, I'm not bringing this up because I want you to pay me. I said, I'm bringing it up to let you know that I forgive you of it. That, you know, I never loan anybody more money than I can afford to lose. So I said, you know what, you take that as a gift. And he repented. He said, I'm sorry, I never did pay you back. I said, don't worry about it, forget it. And about 2 years later, he died. So, see, we made that thing right. And this is a thing that how God wants us to do with things. And, I mean, you got to be careful how you do, you know. You're going to get tough, you know. But, you know, but if you have it, I think God would want us to let them have it. And if it's not going to break you or anything. I mean, he wanted to borrow some money. Everybody thinks I had money, but I ain't got none. I didn't have none then. But I got the money. I loaned it to him. He said, here, I'll let you keep this gun, you know, for collateral, you know, in case. He said, just to show you, I'm going to come back and pay you. Well, never loan anybody more money than what the collateral is worth, because I still got the gun. But what you do, you just have a forgiving heart. Have the nature of Christ. Let this spirit that be in him be also in you. Amen, because this is the way that God wants us to go. You know, this is the way of God. Now, there was a rich young ruler. Everybody knows the story. And I don't know if I'm going to read it, or I think I'll just tell the story. It's in Mark 10. He can put it up here if he wants. And I think starting in verse 17. Said the rich young ruler, he come running into Christ and he knelt down before him. He said, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, he called him good master. He said, why callest thou me good? None is good except God. Well, he was God. Amen. But he told him, he said, you know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery or bear false witness, defraud, honor thy father and thy mother. He said, I've done all of these things from my youth up. Jesus looked on him and loved him. He said, but lackest thou one thing? Lackest thou one thing? Go sell all that you have and give to the poor. And he turned away grievously and left because he didn't want to let go of those things. He's like the monkey in the trap. I mean, he had the best thing that could ever happen to him in this lifetime. But he couldn't let go of what he had. Now we say, well, then the disciples, they kind of do like we probably do. We say, that's a hard saying. Then who can be saved? But you know what you've got to understand is what they looked at about mammon back in those days. We kind of lost it today. The Bible said we cannot serve God and mammon. Now mammon, it is the god of materialism. Mammon is a power. Who is the god of this world? Mammon is a power. If somebody put $1 million in your hand, how powerful do you feel? See, those things can take us away from God. It can get you dependent upon that power, and you think you have no need of God. What did a rich man do? He looked around, seeing all the things that he had. He said, what need do I have of God? He didn't think he had any need of God. But mammon is a god of materialism, a term used to describe gluttony, excessiveness, materialism, greed, unjust, worldly gain, all of these things opposes the opposite of our trust in God. Now, money has a strong hold on people. And that's the reason, until you get the love of money out of your heart, even your alms are going to be affected. How you give your alms. Because, see, money is power. When you give money, you expect something in return. It's a power. It's a purchasing power. Now then, but as Christ, we got to go the other way with it. We got to give expecting nothing back. When you do that, you take the power away from mammon. You say, look, what God has for me is greater than what this purchasing power that you have. So before we can give and give according to the way God, we've got to understand the love of money is a root of all evil. And once we take that power away from it by giving, that's the reason the Bible teaches us about giving so much, is because you take the power away from money. And you put that power in the trust of Jesus Christ, and that shows our trust in Him. And until you can let go of those things, you're showing that you're not really putting your trust in God, but you're putting your trust in yourself and what you can get. But mammon, that's what it is. It's a worldly power. And the Bible teaches us to come out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. So we have to do these things, and we do them as unto doing it unto God. We have a thing back here on the board back there. We have a group effort. And I knew this lesson was coming up. I messed with my daughter-in-law quite a bit. She was writing her name up there. I said, be sure to put it big enough where everybody will see it. See, then you get your glory. See, if you do it for that, if you put your name up there just so everybody will see it, then you've got your glory already. And your name up there, that's what you got out of it. Sometimes I will do someone a favor. They ask me to help them with something. And then I'll help them. They try to give me something. I say, no. I say, I'd rather go to my Heavenly Father. He's got more money than you. We can get more, but if we do these things, and they're already a sacrifice, and if you're doing them for gain in this world, you're not getting much out of it. Amen. But if you do it as unto doing it to God, then you get much out of it. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns it all. As a matter of fact, He gave us life. So we have to, when you look at it that way, Satan doesn't have very much. What he's got is carnal. It only lasts in this lifetime, and then it's gone. But the Bible tells us to fear the one that can not only take this life, but take our soul. This is the one we are to fear. But people they'll buy lottery tickets and everything else. They'll put their money into that because they're expecting something. They're hoping for something. And we are to put our hope in Christ Jesus. When we hope in Him, we're expecting something too. But we're expecting something that's outside of this world. But you know what? He'll take care of you in this world. But it's not, I know it's not wrong to have money. I've never said it is wrong to have money, and it'd be kind of hard to live, but when Jesus comes back in the millennial, all that power is going to be gone. Amen. We're going to be living under different rules. Mammon is no longer going to rule. Mammon is ruling today. The United States rules most of the world. You know why? Because we have more money than the rest of the world. Amen. Who are we dependent upon? Amen. We find out that money will cause us to be lost. Amen. The love of money will cause us to be lost because we'll always be affected by the power that it has over us. Amen. I remember a story back of David, how that, you know, David was one, he never boasted about things. And he, whenever Jesse come to anoint a king over Israel, David wasn't even called as one of the of Jesse's sons. Now, I believe that David probably told them about the miracles and things that he had, but I believe they kind of did it like they did with Joseph. And you can pretty much tell that by reading 1 Samuel 17 and I think it's 17:28. Yes, 17:28. Whenever David went out to meet Goliath, or he come to where his brethren were, and the reason I think that they probably knew about some of his exploits and things that he did was because of the way that they treated him whenever he whenever he came and began to say what they should be doing, the armies of the living God, why should they be cowering down to this Israel, I mean this Philistine? And he and his brother rebuked him. Did I say 18 and 27 or 17, 28? Yes, 17:28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left these few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know thy pride. I know thy naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. They thought, so just from that, I would say David probably told him about his exploits and how all the mighty works that he did in God. But I believe also they did him like kind of like the way Joseph was done. They belittled him, say, who do you think you are? I know your naughtiness. I know your pride. I know what you've been saying. Now you come down to gloat in the battle. But David didn't come down to gloat in the battle. He come down, he made up his mind he was going to be part of the battle. Amen. David was a small guy, one of Jesse's sons. They didn't even call David. But David had his heart in the right place. Amen. He had his heart in the place that God wanted him to be. And for some reason, David always was a man after God's own heart. Saul, whenever he fell out of grace with God, whenever he offered up a sacrifice, amen, and Saul's the first king of Israel, he offered up a sacrifice that wasn't his place to do. Amen. He offered up that sacrifice and he lost his place as a king. And as Samuel said, now he's going to anoint a king after God's own heart. And that even when he went into to David to anoint him king, but he wasn't there. He said, do you have any more sons? He said, yes, we have one. He said, go get him. And when he saw him coming afar off, he knew David was the one. Amen. So folks, we can be like Saul. We can be head and shoulder above the rest. We can look good. We can have a lot of money. We can be appealing to the eye. And all of these things will do nothing but get you out of the will of God. But I want to follow that one, like Jesus told the rich man. He said, sell all you got and come and follow me. See, he didn't pass the test, but he was looking at the very one that passed the test for all humanity. Jesus Christ was tempted of Satan for 40 days and 40 nights. He passed the test. Amen. He put things back in place. And now he's a new Adam, and he has passed the test that we all must come to. We can't pass the test ourselves. Why? Because we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. Amen. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And in the lesson here today, it talks about forgiving. God forgive your debt, also forgive your debtors. And that's what I did with this man. I forgave him his debt from me because, you know what? God has forgiven me mine. Now, debt, it's something that must be paid. Debt, that which is owed, which is strictly due. Also an offense, which makes it obligatory that it must be paid. It's a debt that has to be paid. You're obligated to pay it. There's no getting around. It's a debt until it's paid. And we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. But Jesus paid that debt. That's when he told us, he said, I've forgiven your debt, now you forgive your debtors. And you know that, and you know what when I read to you a while ago, I didn't read you the last of it. In verse 5 of Luke 17, 5. When the apostles heard this, that they had to forgive all of these things. You know what they said? It wasn't like when God asked them to go and to heal the sick. You know, and to heal the lame, amen, and cast out devils, they all went gladly. But when he told them these things that they must forgive, he said, and if any, verse 4 says, and if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again and say, I repent. They thought that was a hard saying. And the apostle said unto the Lord, they didn't say, yes, well, we'll do that. They said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, he sent them out to heal the sick, to cast devils out. Didn't none of them say, oh, yes, that's a great thing. You know, sometimes we want to heal everybody. We want our flesh to get the glory for it. There's no way that any flesh can get the glory of that. Now, there's a lot of people comes and claims they're Jesus Christ, but they don't have the story of Christ. Amen. Jesus came healing the sick. He became casting out devils. He came to doing things that only God could do. And there's people that has come up that says claim themselves to be God, but usually they're very sinful people. I think the House of David or something that way back then, the one that they burnt down in Texas with all those people, that man said that he was the Christ. He said he was the Christ. Amen. And he had many, many wives, and he had a relationship with 12-year-old girls, and they have babies, and that tells what he is. And Jesus Christ tells what he is through his works. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the very works that I do. And they knew that the works that he had was something above what man could do. So when in the alms things here today, in giving alms, we are to find our place in our heart for giving. Because when you give, it's an act against the world. Because you're giving, not expecting anything in return, so the mammon loses its power. And that's just what we do. We come out from among the world to be separate people, and we begin to live differently than what the world lives. Then once you do that, you take the power away from it. And that's what the Holy Ghost does within us. Amen. It gives us the power to live above sin. Not that we're not going to have trouble. If anybody says, I've been perfect since I've been saved, then like I always say, I'll get down and let you up. Because it's not that way. We're still dealing with the things of the world. We're still dealing with the flesh. But when you deny it, when you deny the flesh, you are denying Satan's power. Jesus said to him, deny thyself and follow me. Our day today is, and we're serving God in everything we do, what is the motivating factor for the things that you do? No matter if it's giving, what is it? What's the flesh? The flesh is always going to jump out there. He's always going to want glory. Amen. But if we fast and we pray against Satan and we give God all the glory, amen, then you'll get many, many thousands times more for that work than you would getting the glory from Satan. This is true. Now, I have my positional sanctification in Christ Jesus. You know, that was a commandment. Amen. The rich young ruler, he told all, Jesus gave him the commandments that he was commanded to do. He said, I do these things. Amen. Now, he was only talking about, when he told him, he's only talking about man's relationship to man. Amen. But his relationship to Jesus Christ, his relationship to God, he passed up. And that's the relationship that we need. Amen. His commandment is what? To repent. Be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, those are commandments. You've got to do those things before you're saved. All of the commandments that he gave in the Ten Commandments, they all had to be honored. Everyone had to be in his place. And the same thing with our act of repentance. That's a commandment. Now, after that, our almsgiving, as I said before, is money or goods given to those in need as an act of charity. Now, I know people say, yeah, I give to the church. I give taxes. I guess taxes. But you know, it don't change the word of God. I think whenever Saul became king, Samuel told him that these things are what they're going to do to you. They're going to tax you to death. They're going to take your children, send them to war. Now, we fight all of these things, and most people out in the world, they say, I give enough. Amen, but they're giving. What makes them so mad, they don't think they're getting anything back. See, they think they're losing their purchasing power there. They're taking it, and because for some reason, I know the Bible tells us to take care of the poor and do all of these things, but man won't do it. That's the reason taxes are. And then they take care of the poor. Then it gets all messed up like it is today. I mean, everybody's getting rich. You got more money in individuals' pockets. They say that's the biggest problem with the system today is too many individuals got the money in their pocket. But that's not the way God is. The 10% that we give, we're guaranteed something back. I pay my taxes. I ain't got no choice. If I had a choice, I don't know. I probably wouldn't pay them. Nobody else would either. So we have to have things like that. That's man's thing. But we have things that belong to God. And our tithes is part of those. And until you can let yourself loose from things like that, you really haven't begun to fight the world. Because mammon, that's the world. Amen, that money right there, it's world power. You get enough of that and you can have anything you want. You get enough of God, you can have anything you want too. It may not be in this world, but he'll take care of you. You can have a better life. When I first come into the church, I wrestled with tithes. I said, we just ain't got the money to pay tithes. But once I began to do it, there was no problem. It was just getting over that hump. Because then I gave the devil a black eye. Because the power he has over this world, which is mammon, he no longer has it. Amen. And the more I give, the more black eyes I give him. So that's just part of our worship, part of our living for God is to take the things of the world, amen, and give them to God. Don't trust in the world. The world's going to let you down in the end. It's let everybody else down. I don't know why it wouldn't let, I know it's let me down before I came to God. It had me completely torn to pieces. But you know what? If we'll humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Luke 14:11. He whosoever exalteth him, I will humble. He whosoever exalteth him, I think it says abase, but I have, but it means pretty much the same thing. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You'll be abased, I think is what it says. Who himself shall be abased. That means humbled. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. When you let go of some of the power that Satan has over you, whether it be money, most of it, money's the root, love of money is the root of all evil because money gets all these other things that gets power over you. Whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be tobacco, amen, you've got to have money to get those things. That's your purchasing power. You purchase the very thing that's going to destroy you. But you know we come to God and we let go of these things. When I begin to let go of these things, I'm letting go of the power that Satan has over me. And that's the very thing that I believe that giving's all for, is to give Satan a black eye, to show him, to give him, put him in his place. I know it's hard to give money sometimes, especially when you're raising a family. Amen, but you know what? It's better to trust in God. Amen, it's better take it from somebody who's been there. When I came to God, I was right down at the bottom. I couldn't have went any further. I had no place to look but up. But then I began to learn how to give him. He gave me so many black eyes, Satan did. Now it's my turn. Now I can give him black eyes by rejecting him. By telling him, enough is enough. Amen. These things are not going to have power over me. Amen. When you begin to give the very thing that has his power, and that's tithes and things like that. Giving, God always says, he always emphasized giving, giving, giving. And you know, and to the world, it turns them off. But to us that are saved, we know that it's the power of God. Amen. So I thank God that He has allowed me to give. You know, the more I'm able to give, the more tithes I can pay, that means that I'm making that much more money. But you know, if you look into the Bible there, you can see where they pay tithes at different times. Some people say it's, they paid 30%. Of course, they was ruled by those that they paid it to. Or they paid 30%. And then some say it was 23.5%. Well, the reason they say that, because every third year, you're supposed to pay 10% of what you have. But some says that's a 3.5%, 3.5%, 3.5%. Then some says, no, that's 10%, 10%, 10%. So you pay another 30%. So either way, that would bring it up to 30% or 23.5%. But anyway, we pay 10%. And I think God's happy with that. Anyway, I hope I've helped you today. Hope I've done something that might be able to help you to just get over a hump. I hope I didn't cast any stumbling blocks. If I did, you can come and rebuke me, and I'll repent. And then you'll have to forgive me. Amen. All right, that's all I have today. And usually at this time, we either, if you need to go to the bathroom or you need to do something like that, either that or we pray for the next 15 minutes or read the Bible. But if Brother Wells had anything to say, I'll let him finish it up. Brother Wells.
Why don't we all stand? Thank you, Brother Kellum. I want to live authentic. I don't want to live according to man's expectations. That's a moving target. I want to live according to His expectations. I want to find out what thus saith the Word of God. And I want to endeavor to live my life in such a way that I'm authentic, not to you, not to my neighbors. I understand. You get it. Yeah. That's the result of it, that I am authentic in everything else and every other. If I'm authentic in this relationship, I'll be authentic in this relationship.
Right.
If I'm endeavoring to serve God and follow His will, do what His Word says, then guess what? It will have a positive effect, and people will see me as a sincere person who is authentic, who is real, who loves. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you. You are so good to us. Your ways, God, are right. Your ways are what will guide our lives and give us that which we have need of, to be sincere, to be authentic in the world in which we live. Lord, we love you. We praise you in every action, every behavior of our life. God, let us do so, God, and understanding that we want to be like you, to have your nature. Hallelujah. These altars are open. You can come and pray at the altar. Our classes will be returning. Just take a few moments. Focus upon God. If you need to pray in your pew, you can do so. If you need to take a short break, go to the restroom, converse, we ask that you would do it outside the sanctuary. Let's be respectful of what happens in here. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm with,
Lord,
have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away,
Lord,
you have your way in me.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is my desire. All that I have within me, sorry, Lord, for the thing that made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. Lord, for the thing that made it, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the Lord, for the thing I made it. Oh, it's